Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I had a good trip down to the Pasadena area yesterday. And for all of those who've been in a church for a long time, I have to report it's gone. The administration building has been torn down. Where the Ambassador Hall was, there it's now going to be called Ambassador Gardens. And where the fountains were, they kept some of the fountains, and they're going to put a high-rise, I think about three-story, very expensive condominiums coming out where those classrooms used to be. And so apartments and condominiums have filled up what used to be Ambassador College. Very sad, but that's the way it works. The only thing remaining is the auditorium and the student center. And so, perpetual lesson. You can never assume this. We used to have a joke of it. All the members and everybody else other than the evangelist and the so-called apostle, we were all the equal, but they were the more equal. And that was said in jest because the way they conducted their lives was one of the reasons why it is no more. So did God do that to Jerusalem? Yes, twice. It's going to happen again. Now then, what was it someone gave me here? Okay. All right. Well, we'll go on. Today, let you know that the book is being printed now. So it'll be about 10 days to 2 weeks. Now we've got to finish the CD and the two DVDs and get those taken care of. Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how confused and deceived this world is. It's so hard for new people to grasp what is in the Bible, especially if they've been in a Protestant church. Catholics, not quite so much so, but Protestants do not understand how much they have been deceived. Now, let me ask you a question. What was it that the serpent told Eve? If you eat of the fruit of the tree and dying, you shall not surely die. Okay? A lie. But what happened? God's way was replaced with Satan's way. And in effect, he said, well, what God told you, you don't need to pay any attention to it. I know more than God. And besides, I've been there, I can tell you. So we have the same thing with the Protestants. Oh, if you have Jesus, you have everything. Oh, you don't need to worry about the Old Testament. That's all been fulfilled. And the law has been done away. That's why in my letter, I made it very clear. No. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms, number one, don't even think that. Number two, it'll never be a reality. And that's right in the New Testament they claim to follow. So that's why we have the short series that we have. It's called the Evangelical Bible, two verses. Now, is that not doing away with the Word of God, yet thinking that you are right? Yes, indeed. Okay. Now, if you take everything that we have in the world today, in the way of modern Christianity, and set that aside, and you come to the time of Jesus and the apostles, they actually preached the gospel from the Old Testament. And then God inspired them to write the New Testament. Because here's a principle in the Bible: the physical first, the spiritual second. First man, Adam, was made of the dust of the earth. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. Okay? Spiritual. So we need to understand that in relationship to what we're going to go through here. But I just want to cover a couple of things. Most important thing. Now, the world doesn't know it. See, because they're blinded, they're deceived, and they are deceived into thinking that their deception is right. And that those who have the truth are wrong. And, of course, with all the politics going on and jamming up the roads and keeping people from speaking and things like this, they think they're right. But they have been nourished in communism from kindergarten all the way through college. And they think they're right. And all of us who say, hey, you have to have some laws, you have to have some standards, you have to have some morals, ho, 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 you're old-fashioned. And especially if you're religious. Now, to show you how far men will go, here's the homosexual Bible. Okay? There it is, right there. Now, men have been led by Satan to destroy everything that can be destroyed concerning the Word of God. Now, they have not been able to destroy as much as Satan would like to destroy. And because now there are so many Bibles everywhere in the world, no one has an excuse to not know. So, here you have the world scriptures for the coming world religion. Already made up. Made in the 1990s. Have they been planning this? And if you say, oh, it's a conspiracy. Oh, you're a nut. You know, if you believe in a conspiracy, you're a nut. Well, what is Satan? The master conspirator, correct? Yes. And today, everything that is in Christianity in this world is false, based on lies, based on false interpretations, based upon assumptions, never proving the truth from the Bible, which Paul said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And they did not do like the Bereans to examine the scriptures whether the things were so. Now this was Paul coming into the synagogue in Berea and preaching Christ from the Old Testament. So there in the synagogue, what did they have? They had all the scrolls of the Old Testament. So what did they do? Well, during the week they would come down and study it, and then on the Sabbath they would go over it. They had the Word of God. And one thing about scattering the Jews around the world, especially after 70 AD, they held on to three things. But they overlaid it with their traditions, but they held on to three things. One, the Word of God. But they overlaid that with the Mishnah, and they overlaid that with the Talmud, and so it's buried. Okay? Number two, the Sabbath. Because everywhere they went in the world, they kept the seventh day. Whether they kept it correctly or not, they kept the day. Okay? And number three, the Word of God. Now, they, like those against the New Testament, tried to change as much as they could in the Bible. But very little was changed. Just a few things to cloud who the Messiah was. But God has always kept honest, honest scholars that want the truth. So there's always something published that is the truth, which brings it out. And one of those, I don't have it here, I should have brought it, but it is The Shocking Bible by Everett Fox. Now, that's a very important Bible because he's the number one Hebrew biblical expert in America. So you can look it up. Shocking Bible, volume number one, Everett Fox. Okay. Now, and another most important thing in the calculated Hebrew calendar, where did the Jews go wrong? Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this today. Why do they say Passover is on the 15th? And the Bible says on the 14th. So that resulted in this book. Now, third edition, the Christian Passover, when observed on the 14th or 15th. Now, everyone needs this book. And I get letters every year about this time, people saying, well, I'm rereading it again. I got one just the other day. I'm rereading it for the 10th time, okay? And I'm still learning, okay? Now, and one evangelist said, well, the Passover is so simple. What do you need a 500-page book to explain about it? Okay. What's the answer to that? The Passover is so important for eternal life that Satan has done everything to destroy the knowledge of it, mix it up, cloud the knowledge of it, cause misinterpretations. And I've got 140 now, let's see, 78. 138-year-old paper that I've kept by the infiltrators in WCG when they came in to change the Passover from the 14th to the 15th. Now, if you change it from the 14th to the 15th, you are removing yourself away from Christ and you do not have eternal life. Now, so don't read that one first. Read this one. This is a shorter version of it. The day Jesus the Christ died. And this was done when Mel Gibson came out with The Passion of the Christ. And he did a good job showing a lot of things. Dolores and I went to see it. It was quite good in many aspects of it. Other aspects it wasn't. But, and then Bill O'Reilly wrote one, Killing Jesus. I don't know what he's into this killing series for, you know, but that's all he has, killing this, killing that, killing the other, okay. But anyway, his is incredibly deficient. He's got the right year, he has the right day, the 5th of April, but he's got the wrong sequence because it was on a Wednesday and not on a Friday. Then I doubt if he believes in the resurrection because he wouldn't show any part of that. Just a little sort of an allusion to it. Now then another book you need. So this is advertisement time, paid for by the Christian Biblical Church of God. Harmony of the Gospels in its third edition. Now, Dolores, remember this. We lived at 1616 South Fletcher in Pasadena. Yes. North Fletcher. And the reason that I did this was because there was so much trouble going on in the church, political things, hateful things, everything. It was really terrible. So I figured, keep your mind on Christ. And this came about because in our very first year, we were married, went up to transferred over to Boise, Idaho. I thought I would give a sermon on the last 10 days of Jesus' life leading up to the Passover. Okay? So, graduated just about a year before that. Married in January. Let's see. Yeah, this was the second year. Second year we were there. First year we were at 626 East Jefferson Street. And this one we were 803 West 3rd Street, with a beautiful little house, white with yellow trim, wonderful, was really, really a nice house, and we really enjoyed it there. But in preparing for the sermon, I got out my sermon notes from Dr. Herman Hay, the great intellect from Pasadena, and then the pastor over in Eugene that I served as ministerial assistant. So then, lo and behold, they were a day off. Now, how do you get a day off? You ask your boss. So, I said, well, I'll get Robertson's Harmony because that's what we used in first year Bible. So I got it out, and it was worse. So I said, because this really bugged me. You can't have a missing day. You can't have a missing day. So, I took a piece of paper and wrote down Matthew. another one Mark, another one Luke, another one John. Okay? And I started studying through. Let's come here to Mark 11. And I found the missing day. All right? Dolores will probably remember that because I was really excited when I found it. See? Because all of them had the victorious entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on the Sabbath, Palm Sabbath. Now remember what the Pharisees and scribes said when all the disciples were breaking down palm branches and laying their coats down on the road, and Jesus was on the donkey, Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna on the highest. And they said, tell him to shut up. And he said, well, if I did, the rocks would cry out. Now, think what they would have said if that would have been on a Sabbath day. What would they have said? Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath by tearing down branches. Now, how do we know they would say that? Because when the disciples were plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath, they got all upset, didn't they? They said, you're harvesting. Okay? So, the next thing you had to find out was, when was the Palm Day? And that turned out to be Friday. Not Saturday, not Sunday. Everything flowed through because Mark 11, here is the missing day. So let's pick it up right here. Verse 8, this covers what I just talked about. Then many spread their garments in the road and cut down branches from the trees and scattered them in the road. And those who went before and those who followed behind, verse 9 now, Mark 11, were crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David, coming in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I just imagined that everyone was in a fever pitch that if this was really the Messiah, he was coming to Jerusalem and raise up an army and save us from the Romans. Verse 11, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and because the hour was already late, getting close to sundown. Okay? After looking around and everything there, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And in the morning, okay, they left Bethany, he became hungry. And after seeing a fig tree afar off, that had leaves, Jesus went to see if he might possibly find something on it. And after coming to it, he found nothing except leaves because it was not yet the season for figs. Now, some critic is going to say, Jesus was unfair to that fig tree because he came looking for fruit and it wasn't even the season. Okay. This was symbolic of the work that the Jews should have done. They had all the leaves, but they had no spiritual fruit. And what he did was a foretaste of what was coming with its destruction. Okay, so let's read on. Keep in mind, one day. Verse 14, and Jesus responded by saying to it, let no one eat fruit from you any more forever. And his disciples heard it. They came into Jerusalem. After entering the temple, Jesus began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money exchangers and the seats of those who were selling doves. Moreover, he did not allow anyone to carry a vessel through the temple. I bet he had the fiercest look on his face, you know. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? Now the chief priests and scribes heard this, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of the multitudes that marveled at his teachings. And when evening came, he went out of the city, ending the day, beginning a new day, correct? How many days do we have? Two. Verse 20, and in the morning, As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So there was a two-day thing that took place with the cursing of the fig tree. Okay? Cursing it late on the one day, coming into the temple, teaching all day at the temple, left, went out to Bethany, came back, dried up. Now, in the Harmony of the Gospels, you will see photos of that happening. I have a picture of a fig tree, all the leaves on it, and then a picture of it, all stripped. Same fig tree. Those photos came because one was the fig tree before the locust got it, and the other one was the fig tree after the locust got it. So I thought that pretty well displayed what it was. So that's what you will see in the Harmony of the Gospels. Okay? Now then, why is this important? Because it helps lay out the sequence leading up to the Passover. Okay? The Passover is important. Let's ask some questions. What day did God set the sun and moon in place to begin for the appointed times? Fourth day. Okay? What division of the Bible is the Gospels, which tells all about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Fourth division. What day was he crucified on? Fourth day, Wednesday the fourth day. Go back. What day did he begin his ministry on with the temptation in the wilderness? Wednesday, fourth day. Okay? See, there are a lot of things that God has all tied up and wrapped up in time and prophecy and his word and types and things like this. Okay? Now then, what day after he died did he ascend to heaven? The fourth day, right? He began with 40 days, 4 times 10, temptation. He ended with 40 days with the disciples, 4 times 10. See? So number 4 and the Passover are so important that pattern fits the whole thing. See? God doesn't do anything by happenstance. God does it by deliberation. And this being the most important thing, right? Plan from the foundation of the world. Now, stop and think. Satan the devil has done everything possible to destroy the knowledge of the Passover. Now, how are you going to do it for the Jews who have the Old Testament? How are you going to get them one day off? How are you going to do it for the Catholics? Okay? Early church fathers, etc. By saying that the Jews were punished by God. That's why he gave them the Sabbath and the holy days. Punished them for their horrible sins. But think about it. For 40 years, were not the Jews the greatest number of Christians? What did the Bible say to the Jew first? Okay. And it says in Zechariah 12, he's going to save Judah first. In Revelation, the 7th chapter, the first tribe of the tribes of Israel saved is what? Judah. Okay. The last one saved was the smallest one, the smallest tribe, Benjamin, correct? Okay? And who was the last apostle? Paul. And what tribe was he from? From Benjamin. You see, all of these things fit together in a great overall pattern. Now then, so I might go over time today, and I might have to finish it next week. But this is important. Let's say, all right, and we have new people going to keep the Passover for the first time this year. And some of them just baptized shortly before Passover. never knowing anything about the Bible anywhere or anything there, and all of a sudden, what do you have? You have Passover one night, night to be observed the next night, the first holy day. What on earth is this? See? Now, especially if you've been a Protestant. See? Because it's strange. Now, what is really strange? Let me ask you a question. What I just said, and then you carried on with Pentecost and trumpets and atonement and tabernacles and last great day. What is all of that? All right, let's look at it this way. Resurrect someone from the first century who was a converted Jew, resurrect him now, and say, look at this Christianity that we have today. What do you think about that? Well, let's come to Revelation 17. We have a very close experience to that. Okay? Revelation 17. How could the world be turned so upside down? And then you also tell this resurrected person, guess what? Since the printing of the Bible, there have been 7.5 billion printed. And now they have a magical device they can hold in their hands, and hundreds of millions of people have it, and they can look at the Bible, the whole Bible. What do you mean, the whole Bible? Well, since you were lying in the grave waiting for the resurrection, we had the Gospels written, we had the general epistles written, we've had the epistles of Paul and the book of Revelation. Really, what is that? Oh, you're in for a big lesson there, friend. All right. Now, John saw this vision. This explains it really very well. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that spiritual fornication, lawlessness in religion, and that is serving Satan the devil. Because you read chapter 13, who do they worship? Satan. And they think they're worshiping God. See, now everything's totally backwards. That's why today, true Christians are few and far between, and that's why we have a greater responsibility to do the things we need to do than any other generation down through time. All right, let's go on. Waters means people, tells us over here in verse 15. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now, those are the leaders. These are the elite, would you not say? And do they not set everything for everybody? Yes. Now, little sidebar. We've got a special booklet, an in-depth tribute to William Tyndale. And in it, we have some of the quotes of the popes from Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, if you've got the little Fox's Book of Martyrs, you just have a little abbreviated edition. I've got two of the great, big, huge, like this, printed Fox's Book of Martyrs, complete. Sometimes you need to get everything. See? All right? And in it, there are quotes from the popes. One pope, I remember this, he was saying, look at the power that I have. I can consign someone to hell or to heaven. I can command nations to be destroyed, command kings and emperors, and that's all the power that I have. What can be said of me? I must be God. Their own. We did put it, okay. If you have the New Testament in its original order, we did have it there, okay? But in order to do the whole Bible, we had to reduce it down. Now think of that. Question. Who is the one that wants to be God? Who is the one who wants to be the replacement of Christ? Today called the vicar, Satan the devil. All right, let's read on. Okay. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now that means the whole world. That's why being called and having your mind open is a special miracle from God. Okay? Then he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, full of names of blasphemy, and the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, had a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, and across her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. And so evil is this system, and they have done it. Oh, but the Pope today is such a nice man. He's such a humble man. He even asks everybody to pray for him. My. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. There are two classifications of martyrs. True Christians are the saints. Martyrs are those who believe in the name of Jesus, are for Jesus, but were never truly converted. But nevertheless, they died. Now, in the Middle East today, we have a lot of those, don't we? Yes, indeed. All right. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement, how did the world become this way? Now, remember, John was writing toward the end of the first century, and he was projected forward to our day today. And he looked at that, and he couldn't believe it. Because everybody who has anything to do with Christianity, they say we're Christian, they quote certain scriptures, but they're not. Now, question. Which is the greatest enigma, Babylon the Great or the truth of the Bible? Huh? Yes. And really, now, the other night I was watching the submarine battle with the Germans against all the everything. And the British forced this one German sub up. And in the sub, they had everything concerning the Enigma code that the Germans had that the British could not crack. They had the machine to deliver it, the machine to receive it, and they had the code book to go with it in toto. Now, that helped win World War II. All right, today. The Bible is closed to those who refuse. Now, let's come to Isaiah, the 29th chapter. And we will see the same thing. See, because atheists say, well, the Bible's filled with lies and all sorts of terrible and horrible things. And look what they do to people. They stone them for adultery and, you know, all of this sort of thing. Okay. Isaiah 29. Now, look at all of the great theological things that are in the world that are called Christian. Okay. Think about the total deception that they are under. And along comes an honest scholar once in a while, and he writes a convicting statement against them, such as, there's no such thing in the Bible as a Holy Trinity. The word is not even there. And when the Catholics run to their priest and say, oh, can you tell me about the Trinity? My child, it's a mystery. No one can understand it. Yes, you can. It's a dirty, rotten lie. Now, question. That's an example. Can you worship the God of truth with lies? Question. Do you like to be lied to? No. Question. Do you lie? Average person world lies to themselves once every 11 minutes about something. Right, Isaiah 29. Okay. Verse 9. Be stunned and amazed, blind your eyes and be blind. They are drunk. What did we just read? Revelation 17. Drunk. Okay. But not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes and has covered the prophets and your rulers and the seers. So when people go from God, what happens? Boop. The blinders come on. Now today they have the reality glasses, don't they? You have this little thing you put over your eyes and you have a whole new reality right there, you know? It's not much different than watching the ads on television, okay? Everybody's happy, 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 happy. I have yet to see them try and sell one thing with some old grump. Oh, they ought to come to me. No. Okay. Here's what happens. And the vision of all has become to you like the words of a book that are sealed. That's what they say in the Bible. It's sealed. I don't know. What you give to one who is learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. Well, I don't understand this. This is strange. What is this all about? Well, God gave a special way of preserving it, you see. And a book is delivered to the one who is not learned, saying, please read this. And he says, I'm not learned. And the Lord says, here is why. Now stop and think. Everybody in the world figures Halloween, Christmas, Lent, Easter, all of those things. Did I say Christmas? Yeah, I did. Okay. All of those things are Christian. Now, you come up to them and you say, no, 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 no. It's the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, last great day. What on earth are you talking about? We have so much fun over here, and it's all for the children. See, isn't? Yes. Teaching them to lie from an early age. Right? I remember when I caught my mom the lie about Christmas. I remember it. See, because I got a lot of switches on my legs. Child abuse today, you know. Well, my mom confessed to Dolores that I was the hardest thing to keep track of. Good thing for about 5 years we lived out in the country because that kept me out of trouble. But anyway, I discovered a box in the closet, you know, closed up. Just what I had ordered from Santa Claus down at the department store. You know, kids are dumb. You know, take advantage of their credulity and sincerity. Oh, let's go shopping. Okay, what do you want for Christmas? Well, let's go down to the department store and see. And there's this big fat guy with bad breath and a fake beard, you know. Always is, you know. Well, sonny, what would you like, you know? So that's what this is. You know. Never stop and think, how could that guy squeeze down the chimney? See? Okay. So I found this box in the closet. And I just had a big deal with some of the kids playing with that there's no Santa Claus. And I said, yes, there's a Santa Claus. And I ran into the house and said, my friends over there are saying there's no Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus, isn't there? My mom said, well, of course there's a Santa Claus. Okay. So here, about 2 weeks later, I find this box. See? So I confront my mom. What's this? You mean there's no Santa Claus? Well, really, there isn't. Well, then why do I get switched when I lie? See? It must have been about 5 and a half or 6 at that point. See? So she said, well, that's a white lie. We do good. Isn't that how Satan presents it? A white lie is good. What did Jesus say? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? Now, what is more ridiculous? Holidays of this world or the truth of God? Now, I know if you're coming to it for the first time, it's a little strange. But look at what's in the world. Don't you think it's strange with all of these lies, with all of these things, all of the deceptions, all of the commercials, all of, let's put Jesus back in Christmas. He was never, never, never there, and you ain't going to get him and put him there anyhow. Okay? That's just the way it's going to be. All right, let's take a break.